The Gospel by John, chapter 3, please. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, or thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said, Art thou a master? And the word here is a present master of Israel, and knowest not these things. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now turn over, please, a few chapters. I'd like to read again, this time in John's Gospel, chapter 7. Verse 45. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have you not brought him? The officers answered, Never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? We learn here there was one that did. But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him? And know what he doeth. He answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man, and the original shows it's every man of the same kind, went unto his own house. And there's a word here, and the original reads, But. But Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. Now, a last reading, please, at the end of John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 19. The Lord Jesus has been pierced. Verse 34. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the Scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another Scripture saith, They shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, or came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes and about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb, a new sepulchre, wherein never man yet laid. There laid they, Jesus, that is Nicodemus and Joseph. They laid his body there. Therefore, because of the Jews, then laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews, preparation day, sepulchre was nigh at hand. The Lord will bless his word with what has gone before. I suppose from our earliest days in the Sunday school, we were acquainted with John chapter 3. Often I listened as the teacher would go over these words and speak about the gospel that was preached to Nicodemus, the greatest verse in the Bible. I believe more people will be in heaven that received salvation through John 3:16, and many more that received the assurance of salvation. After I was saved, this was a very treasured verse to me. For God so loved the world. This is not the world of believing men. This is the world of lost men. The world of sinners lost. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, a child, a young man, a sinner of the vilest kind, wherever he be found, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now the reason I read these scriptures is that Nicodemus, so familiar is his name to us, about the only name of a Jewish man like him and his rabbi condition, that we would have heard his name, a ruler of the Jews. 3 times we have read his name, Nicodemus. First we see him coming to Jesus by night. And what a night that was. That's the night of his conversion. I have no doubt that Nicodemus was saved the first time he heard the gospel. You know, it takes a great deal of gospel to be preached at times before people are saved. But here's a man, and he has been concerned and troubled. And he seeks the Lord. And as he listened to John 3:16 and the words of the Savior, I believe he was saved by the grace of God. So the first time we read about Nicodemus is with Christ. Then I read again about Nicodemus, and this time it's not his conversion now, but his confession. It was a difficult thing for him as a ruler of the Jews, among his own people and among the rulers, to confess before them. And in that lovely chapter I read, he confessed. And we read these words, "Have any of them believed in him?" And every man went to his own house. But the next verse begins with a but in the original, but Nicodemus. He didn't go to his own house. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. And as he walked up the Mount of Olives, he had a man with him, Nicodemus, following Jesus in his sorrow. Nicodemus. And lastly, I read about Nicodemus, and this time he's at the tree. He's come to the cross. Very touching to me to see the ruler of the Jews standing at the cross, taking his place with men in confession and consecration to the Lord Jesus. And he and Joseph of Arimathea, 2 men only, men of wealth, men of affluence, men of dignity, men well accepted in the community, they took down that body. They drew the nails. Nicodemus thought of the night that he first saw him, and of the walk that he had with him over all of it, when every man went to his own house. Because that word there is every man of the same kind. Nicodemus was a different kind. And he would remember that as he saw those nails and withdrew them from his palms. And gently, the two men, greatest men as far as wealth was concerned, they took that body and they laid it in a garden tomb. They buried him away. Nicodemus at the burial of the Savior. So three times we have Nicodemus. Let me think of him first of all as a man that was anxious. You know, the Spirit of God moves in a mysterious way. And some people that we would least expect. I'm not going to spend time telling about men that I least expected would ever approach me about salvation. Men that we least expect. And this man was a man who had thoughts and concern about his destiny. Who put them there? The Holy Spirit. John 3 tells me that the Holy Spirit has access to every heart, to every human heart. There'll be no man that we know at some time the Holy Spirit made an approach. And when that approach is made, if the person approached begins to think seriously, the Holy Spirit will lead him further and will bring him to the Savior. And finally, he will become a believer in the Lord Jesus, the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And so Nicodemus, he wants to meet with the Lord. He has a desire to go somewhere where he can meet Christ. You know, when a person is anxious to be saved, they want to have a meeting place where they can hear about Christ. And that's what the gospel is that we preach. It's a gospel that draws people to Christ. And so Nicodemus, he desires to know more about Christ. And so he thought, I can't meet him in the daytime. And he would find out where the Lord would be. You know, when a person is wanting salvation, they're concerned that they will go to the right place to hear the right story. They will be brought in under a place, into a condition where they will hear the truth. There's a longing in a soul. The Holy Spirit puts that there. No preacher can produce concern in a human heart. But the Holy Spirit concerns people that we've least expect. And so Nicodemus, he finds out that the Lord Jesus in the cool of the day would be away from the crowd. Likely on one of those flat roofs in Jerusalem. At least when I was there, I walked around and thought it would be a place like this. And the Lord is sitting at the close of the day and he's waiting. He's waiting. What's he waiting for? He's waiting for the footsteps of a sinner. The Holy Spirit is drawing this man to Christ. And you know, all the preaching that we may do will never draw a man to Christ apart from the Holy Spirit of God. I've learned in my long experience that the Holy Spirit is the one that causes a sinner to come to a gospel meeting. And when he's there, the Holy Spirit only can produce concern in his heart. And so Nicodemus is now concerned. And he's climbing the steps. And the Lord is there at the close of the day. The rulers come to Jesus by night. No man can do the miracles that thou hast done, except God be with him. Knowledge that God was with Christ. And in the interview there with the Lord, the Lord Jesus introduced to him the wonderful plan of salvation. John 3:16. I've preached that in every land and place I've ever been in my life. God has used it in the conversion of more souls than any other. Children can believe it. Young men can believe it. The vilest sinner can believe it. It's a whosoever gospel. Listen to these lovely words. For God so loved the world. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time his mother's womb be born? The Savior said, you must be born again. You must have a second birth if you're going to be in heaven. For God so loved the world. How can these things be? For God so loved the world of men. I have long believed that on the cross he made a provision that allows me to invite any sinner in the world for salvation, a genuine offer. I know there are some men that don't believe what I believe. They're so strong in a doctrine that they know nothing about, the doctrine of election, that they don't believe that on the cross he made provision for all men. When I went to preach as a boy, I believed that God was desirous that all men would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And when the Savior hung on that tree, he made an ample provision. No man needs to go to hell. No woman, boy, or girl needs to go down to the pit. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, having one Son, higher than angels, was there with the Father before angelic beings were ever created. All the love of the Father rested upon that blessed One. And all the love of the Holy Spirit, the invisible Spirit that men have never seen. No angels had ever seen divine persons in heaven. First time that angelic beings saw deity was a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. He came into manhood. I believe when we go to the glory, we will never see the Father or the Holy Spirit, but we will see the Son of His love, who brings to us all that the Father is and all that the Spirit is. The Blessed One who came into the world to die for sinners. And there in that place to one man, some have said to me, how can you preach and there's only one sinner in a meeting? But there's usually Christians there. But as they sat together, there's only one man at the meeting. And he looked into the face of the Savior. And the Savior said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, doesn't matter whether you're the leader of Israel, a ruler in Israel, doesn't matter whether you're a pauper in the street, doesn't matter if you're a blind man sitting waiting for some donation, black or white, yellow or red, young or old, there are children here that have reached the age of understanding already. The Savior said, suffer the little children to come to me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. I'm a firm believer that there's not a man breathing air in this world, but God loves him. I believe there's not a person still on earth, whatever his color, class, or creed, whatever his background may be, that the eye of God is upon him, and that Christ at Calvary laid down sufficient to save all mankind. Isn't it sad that so few believe? Listen to it. For God so loved the world. This is not the world of believing men or the world of elect men. This is the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall, whatever they may be. He loved the world of sinners lost and gave his only begotten Son, one Son, his well-beloved, that whosoever believeth in him, doesn't say work for him, doesn't say cry before him, doesn't say read scriptures and put your name in it. No, no. Whosoever trusteth in Christ, whosoever believeth in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here we have Nicodemus on his heavenly birthday. That was the day he was saved as he listened to the Savior's words. Now I read about Nicodemus again. And here it's not his conversion, but his confession. The rulers have come now. Their hatefulness is seen in that chapter that I read. And as they're about to be destructive towards the Savior, Nicodemus speaks up. He made a confession. You know, this is a wonderful thing to see a man like him confessing the Lord Jesus before his enemies. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be thy Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And what happened in that upper room has now developed into a moment of tension when all the rulers are together and they're after for the death of Christ and to wipe out this man that has come. One man only spoke. And you know, it's interesting. We read, every man went to his own house. And the word in the original is, every man of the same kind went to his own home. But there was a man there that was of a different kind. And when Jesus began to walk up the Mount of Olives, he had a companion. You know, we often think of him alone on the mountain. And he wasn't alone many a time. The disciples forsook him and fled. But I believe that out from that word, his confession of Christ before man, he that confesseth Christ before man shall be blessed of God. And the Savior went to the mountain. Every man went to his own home. Every man of the same kind in the original, but there was a man of a different kind. And I believe he walked up all of it with the Lord and listened to more, heard about Calvary, where the Savior would die, a cruel death, suffering. So here we have Nicodemus, the second time, listening to the ministry of Christ. First time we heard his ministry, it was about the cross, and we came to Calvary. All the ministry that we give amongst the Lord's people should always bring us to the person of Christ. Everything. The gospel is to present Christ. The gospel is to present the love that led him to skull hell. The tears in his eyes. The thorns in his brow. The stripes in his back. He moved in dignity, quietly, along the way, and Nicodemus watched as he saw him go. But we read of Nicodemus again, the man that came by night, the man that walked with him on the Olivet Hill. He has come now with another man. Two unlikely men have come, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night. It's always mentioned in the three times his name appears that he came by night. But now he's coming in the evening of the death of Christ. And as those two men came, I'm always amazed. The Bible says he will be with the rich in his death because he hath done no violence. Didn't seem to be any rich man around. But here's two, the richest men in Jerusalem have come. And they have begged his body. Amazing that they were allowed to take that body. And now we see them on the ladder as Nicodemus drew the nails from his hands. And tenderly they laid him down. And the crowd are speechless. And they move in dignity to the garden tomb, where never man was laid. Touches my heart today as I read this. And I thought of it and tried to see it in my mind's eye. Two men going through the silent crowds with a body, wrapped and prepared to be laid in a borrowed tomb. Was he dead? Yes. Christ died for our sins. If Christ died not, we are yet in our sins. Because of the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. And Nicodemus and Joseph, they tenderly laid his body in that garden tomb. And a great stone was rolled to the door of the sepulchre. Nicodemus at his burial. Well, you know, now I go to history for a moment. what happened to Nicodemus. I read carefully into the past and found that Nicodemus died a pauper, and that Nicodemus was slain for his faith, martyred. He died in poverty. Everything was taken from him. And the man died forsaken. History tells us he walked the streets of Jerusalem on his bare feet, a hungry man. He was put out of the Sanhedrin. He's not allowed to sit anymore. He lost all the honors that a man like him, a Jew like he, could have had. But he followed Christ. And he sits now waiting the day of eternal glory when a new body will be his as well as ours. I want to say something. When I read about Nicodemus and put these things together, I said, it will be my delight to shake his hand. All of us had to come the same way to the cross. Salvation is not found in religion. Is anybody here trusting religion? Nicodemus is the most religious man in the country. But he found out that salvation was found at that old rugged cross, and that salvation was founded upon redemption and upon a man on a tomb that rose again. He died for our sins. He had told them plainly in the upper room as he sat there on that pavement in the evening. He had told him he would go to the cross. And Nicodemus believed the gospel. And today he's in the glory waiting for his glorified body in the palace where tears will never come. I want to ask you, are you going to the palace? Or are you going to the burnings? Our brother has spoken plainly. There is a hell. There is a fire that never shall be quenched. It's hardly likely that all of us here are on the way to heaven tonight. Maybe there's a mother's son. Mom has prayed for you. A father's daughter prayed for. A young man without Christ. A woman without Christ. A mother raising children and you don't know the Lord. When should you be saved? Now. Listen to the verse that's through which Nicodemus started on his journey. And it led to sorrow, it led to great difficulties with him. History tells us he died a pauper, and that his daughter went out to borrow food to feed him. He was out of the Sanhedrin. He was hated by the Jews, and he died in poverty. But he went to be with Christ, which is far better. Better to die a pauper and go to heaven as a millionaire and go down to the pit. If you're not saved, I want you to think of the verse through which Nicodemus was saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, rich or poor, black or white, yellow or red, young or old, a child, an old person, whosoever believeth in him. We sing some.